Exactly what we were saying yesterday. Rokein Masbir Shlok Kodesh Sefer Breishis, Parshas Noach, is Divrei HaMidrash Rabbah. The Midrash says like this, V'noach Motza Chayim. It says, V'noach Motza Chayim B'nei Hashem. Who Motza? HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lo Motza. Noach Motza Chayim. But Hashem didn't get anything from Noach. Ratzel Loima says the Shlok. Who Motza Me HaKodesh Baruch Hu Shama Eiro Isoi. He found in HaKodesh Baruch Hu that HaKodesh Baruch Hu was arousing him, was waking him, was giving him. But HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lo Motza Mimenu. But HaKodesh Baruch Hu didn't find anything in him that he could take from him. There was no Yisrael down here that was going up. What's the Shlok Kodesh saying? The Moedik, Moedik. That means, Noach Motzachayim Ben Hashem. Noach found in Hashem what to be Misaira about. But Hashem found nothing in Noach to be Misaira about. He wasn't giving anything back to Hashem. Mashayim Ken Bavram. Shlok Kodesh continues. Mashayim Ken Bavram. Shenema Asher Heslachti Lefonov. Avram Avinu was Mesayra me before I was Mesayra him. He walked in front of me. I found his heart. Neman, what's lefanecho? Means in front of Hashem. No, he preempted. Because Mulel Noach lo amin kila kolish bochu yesh malakabel mimen. No, I couldn't understand what Hashem did before. מה אני יכול לעשה להשם? כלום, מדוע לא טוב. הוא חושב, מה אני יכול לתת לבורא אליו? לכן באמת הראש ברוך הוא לא מוצא, אצלו יצא מבוקש. They חושב, didn't find anything by him. You didn't discover the secret of the world. So move on. לומר זה, סבר רבינו גילה את הסוד הגודל של הבריאה, הוא גילה, הקודש ברוך הוא מעניין בי, מעניין בי, השם is interesting me. יש לי מה לתת לו. ובשל כך הקדוש ברוך הוא ברוך הבא אברהם אבינו ובזאת האחרונה. That's the secret, yes. You have what to give Hashem. How we deal with that philosophically when we get around the words, you can't give Hashem anything, we'll deal with. But you already understand it a little bit. You've got something to give Hashem. Al imuna zu, obviously what we're giving Hashem is a taking, what he's giving us is a, what he's taking from us is a giving. The story with Moshe Feinstein in the sweat, I've told you many times here. That's a perfect moshul for this. He was taking nothing, and he was giving everything. But it looked like he was taking, and she was giving. Someone with their eyes open understood what's going on. So, Ella, what is my code of those gedolos in the Hashem? Ali Muzet Nazu, Nalachem Nefesh, Megat Kolo Ilom. Kulam Sabra Shechosadaya, I don't talk to Meshuggah. He didn't move. And that's why Shem Va'ever could sit and learn Torah the whole day. No one bothered him. Nimrod didn't send troops up to Shem Va'ever's yeshiva to close it down. We don't see Shem being thrown into the Gifshanesh. We don't see Nimrod chasing Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. He was a novi. He was also preaching one God. Why wouldn't they try and kill him? Because he didn't mafia anybody.
Each one is his proper character. That means Abraham is like this. Noah is more for him. That means
they made a mistake. It wasn't a teva. It was a bechir that they each used wrong. If it was a teva, Hashem can't get angry with him. Hashem got angry with him and he didn't use his bechir properly.
But the 12 shvatim, that means each one is.
One second. Everyone has a different characteristic and a different purpose. Every kid is different. Nachinami. But you have to make the right decisions. You have to make the right choices. In Achinami, everyone's different. Yeah. But Noach's tafkin in the world wasn't just to sit and learn and Avram's just to do kiruv. That's not what's going on here. Is Noach missed the whole story. He missed the whole purpose of the Bria. It's not about what you do with it afterwards. It's you first got to understand, I have something to give Hashem.
But it's difficult sometimes to have an impact on the other one.
No, so you don't have an impact. Yeah, no one's criticizing Noach because he didn't have an impact. Noach is criticized because you didn't get it right. You didn't understand that you have something to give Hashem. You thought you were a soldier. You didn't realize you were a businessman.
Yeah.
That was the mistake he made. He walked with Hashem. Im Hashem telchu. Aval lo lech lefanecha. Avram Avinu went before Hashem. That's what we have to do. That's the geirus. And Avraham Avinu was ready to give up his life for this. Unikra Avraham Ivri. Everyone was on one side. Avraham Avinu taught us that the whole world can be wrong. You know, the world can't be wrong. I mean, for goodness sake, everybody. Avraham Avinu taught us the whole world could be wrong. Imuna zoihi not of a hirshish bonov, ubonov achorov, kumoshakosov, ki yadati lamana shi yitzove es bonov, bez bnei beis achorov, vashomru derech Hashem. Hashem says, you know what, I trust you because I know your children are still going to be keeping it. Avraham Avinu's impact was so great that today, even though we're very far away from it, we're still keeping it. And that's what Hashem says, ki yadatov. Hashem says, I know. Lamana shi yitzove es bonov, bez bnei beis achorov, vashomru derech Hashem. You're going to command your children afterwards. How can I command my children after my children that I've ever met? Hashem says, I know. Avraham Avinu is going to do it in such a way that the great, 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 great grandchildren are still keeping the derech Hashem. All in the schus of Avraham. Besides the etzem imuna that Avraham Avinu passed on to his children, also made the effort and put in the koiches to make sure that the kinyan of the imuna that we have will be amiti and mamash down to the shoroshim. How did he do that? How was Avraham Avinu sure that his children would keep it? And not just keep it, but keep it amiti. It would be a kinyan, a proper kinyan, not a mitzvah sanoshim ulumodim. The Brisbane Abasorim, Vizmana Maimed Agodu, Vaniskov, so Chris's Bris Netzach, Ben Avraham Avinu, Vizara Achrab, Ben Boyer Koilolimim. We don't really understand the Brisbane Abasorim, but what we know was it was a cataclysmic moment in world history. Maimed Agodu, Vaniskov, the Kosh Bochu entered into a covenant, an eternal covenant with Avraham Avinu and his children afterwards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, just listen to the story, it's mad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, Ki ma sheyotzi mimecha hu yereshecho. I'll take them out of this nation, they're going to be there, and I'll take them out, and they will be your inheritance. Ve'savtocha yerushas aretz, ve'yayim alav ani Hashem, asher tzeichem ma'u kastim letet locha es eretz azayis l'roshtem. And he promises him Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance, eternal inheritance. Hashem just promised you what he's promised you, right? Hashem comes and says, I'm giving you this, this. Turns around Avraham Avinu and says, how do I know that I'll inherit the land? How do I know? One second, Hashem just told you, I promise you they'll inherit the land. You turn and say, but how do I know? You're not dealing with you've got to be careful, you know, three contracts, four Arabian, you know, check the kadon, you know. Who are you talking to here? What's he asking? Rashi Mevar, Amalafono, Hodiyani Ba'ezah Schus, Yeski Mubo. He wasn't asking, how do I know? I'm not worried about you, Hashem, I'm worried about them. What schus do they have? Hamila is Shena Moira Yerushas Ledoires Lebonov Lebnei Bonov. We're talking here, how do we know that my descendants will inherit it? Yesh Lavin, are you talking? Kate Ravinu, Roisha Mamin in Moira Sophic, Lagabe of Tokas Hashem is Barach. Avraham Avinu is the Roisha Mamin, Hashem himself crowns Avraham Avinu is the Roisha Mamin, and then Avraham Avinu is asking Hashem, but how do I know you're going to keep your promise? No, move up. As a Maharal,
yeah, but no, yeah, no. Huh? That means Eretz Israel, it's we have a condition that means to make the mitzvot. If we are not doing the mitzvot, we are out.
Klal Israel will always inherit the land. Hashem, yes, said your children will inherit the land. Yes. He said, how do I know? I mean, how do you know? But you're not wrong. Bo, what the Maharal says here. The Maharal says like this. What was Avraham Avinu asking Hashem? He had no doubts or any kashas on Hashem's avtoch. Ulam Avraham Avinu shoev shekinyan eretz v'kinyan haemunah v'Hashem yisbarach yeh kinyan atzmi. Avraham Avinu wanted his children to inherit the land and inherit the emunah through a kinyan atzmi, through their own personal effort, the same as he did it. He didn't want them to inherit it as an inheritance. He wanted them to inherit it as a maaseh that they did to earn it. He wanted them also to toil and work hard for it. Avraham turns out and says, I don't want my kids to get it for nothing. I don't want to work for it. If they get it for nothing, it's not worth anything. When you've earned it yourself, it's yours forever. You and the thing become one. You get it as a present. No, yeah, today, gone tomorrow. Avraham Avinu wanted a kinyan netzach here. Got a rich guy, he wants to leave his money to his children. He knows his child's very young and immature. He knows nothing about the, you know, business and the secrets of business. Doesn't know how to look after the estate. He gives this child, you know, the keys to the strong room. You know, that's it. In a few months, the money will be finished. He gives him a little bit. He says, go practice. Go play around. Make some money. Lose some money. Do whatever you want. Go learn the business. Go learn and make all the mistakes you can possibly make. You know, he has $1 million. Go blow it. Go play around with $1 million and, you know, buy, sell, learn. From experience. He learns from experience what to do or not to do. He didn't send the kid off to do an MBA at Harvard. He gave the kid bucks and he said, go bruise yourself out there, you know, in the tough world of business. Go learn the trade. You know, make mistakes, learn from your mistakes until eventually the kid learns everything he learns to know. Now you can give him all your money. Now you know, the guy knows the business. And he's saying, I've said him, he's a case in love here. The tests and the losses and the difficulties he has will teach him how to make money. Avraham Avinu Hisig is Kinyan Emunah B'Hashem. Avraham Avinu earned and acquired the Emunah B'Hashem through his own efforts. Who is he? Gam is Kinyan Eretz Yisrael, Shayi Paltzin Shal Melech Ubeis Moshe Melech. He also inherited through his efforts Eretz Yisrael, which is the seat of Hashem's glory. He said to himself, one second. Zachiti b'kol eili b'schut zot she'alachti mi'itchale mamish. I inherited this because I started from nothing and I built myself. I'm a self-made man. V'lo rabbi mo yoderach. I didn't have a rabbi, I didn't have parents. I worked this out for myself. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Ulam Moshe, Keitzad Bonai, Shekva Yirshu V'kibro Esayimuna Mimeni, Yiskoy Lekach B'schutz Atzma. I started off with nothing. Yeah, I went there, I took a push cart and I started selling reds. And, you know, eventually I made a lot of money, you know, and I bought the Empire State Building and now I'm a big VIP. Now my kid's born and he's born. He's a rich guy. He got it from me. I remember when I went out there and built an Emunah and built a relationship with Hashem and earned what he earned for his own efforts. His kids get it for free. We get it for nothing. We get it for free. As Avraham Avinu asked, Ketzad Bonai Shekva Yishu Vekiblo Samuna Memenu Yisko Lekach Vuskus Atzma. My children have already got it for nothing. How do I know they're going to earn it? They get it for nothing. They'll shave it. They'll blow it. They don't know what it is. They haven't practiced it. They haven't played with it. How do I know that my children are going to earn the Emunah and the Lech? That's what he said by my Ada. He wasn't doubting Hashem. He was doubting the Kinyan that his kids were going to make. Lakach Heshiv Lakolosh Bolchu. Hashem said to him, okay, that's what you want. I'll fulfill your rotzim. Banecha yetzin agolos achagolos v'yedu beruchnias ad sheisharu lo kol schuyot. I'm going to send your kids through golos after golos until they're going to go to Memtes Shari Tuma and Chum Shari Tuma and they're going to be left with nothing. Nothing. Boifen zeheim yatchilu es akol shuv midekunuras ha'itchola kamoichol. In that way, they'll start the same way as you do it, from scratch, from nothing. And they'd have to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. Kuf Zayin. That's why every Jew has to go through the same 10 tests that Avraham Avinu went through. כשם שאבינו עצמו אומר להפעיל לדאגוסה עם אוכרס וזוקה בו, the same as אבינו had to toil and battle and go through ניסיונס to get to the unique level that he required, he was zoiched to. הוא רוצה שגם זורה יזכה להגיע למדרגס רוכניס אלו מתוך ייחוס עצמי. He wanted his children to earn it themselves. Claim a lo b'schus abois, ele b'schus atzmo. Not b'schus abois, but through their own toil and sweat. The Maral. Everything I'm reading as a Maral.
What that means, each generation has to start from zero?
Each individual has to start from zero. Particularly the generation before Mashiach. The generation before Mashiach, Chois Min Boch, Hashem says, the generation before Mashiach will have to be exactly like you. I'll have a Holocaust, and in the Holocaust, I'll take away all leadership, I'll shatter all the Messiahs, and I'll take a generation that's almost nothing left of them. I'll leave them a few little, you know, bright lights here. You know, there's an Aaron Kotlier and a Rufus Zalman there, and I'll leave you with a few bright lights so that there's at least something you can, you know, like you can start going on. But he said you're going to have to start from scratch. This generation had to start Ruchnias from scratch. And go build yourselves. Go build yourselves as an individual. Go have your own personal Nisoinus. What one of them is 10 Nisoinus? Hanasa, Bonim, Shalom Bais. Until you get to your own Akedah. That's a very personal, private moment in each person, his own Akedah. Now, Klal Yisrael had an Akedah experience by Kriyas Yam Suf as well. Klal Yisrael, when they stood at Yam Suf, the Sfasema says there was an Israel of Kriyas Yam Suf. Hashem says, you're going out of Mitzrayim to go get the Torah. And he says, jump in the river and drown yourselves. Jump in the Yam and drown yourselves. It's exactly the Akedah. They couldn't swim. Hashem says, go, stop davening and go into the water. And Moshe doesn't go, that's a sad. The only sign that is, you see Moshe going in, you also go, but Moshe didn't go. Midrash says he went in last. There's exactly the Akedah, Nachinami. But each individual has to go through that himself as well, in each generation. And you have to find some point where nothing makes sense, and you have to say, I know, but I believe, I know, that's it. Now, but Tetzvans gave a marshal for this. If you want to know, if you want to know practically what it would look like, and where your Emunah would have to kick in, where you have to understand what Emunah really is. Let's say tonight, after you light candles, you're sitting there meditating on the menorah, yeah, Hashem comes to you and he says to you, if this happens, by the way, give me a call, because you probably need help. Hashem comes to you in all his glory, and you know that it's Hashem. Let's not worry about how you know, it's a story, so you can do whatever you want. You know that it's Hashem, there's no doubts, okay? You know, he shows these two datzut, and you know it's him. There's no problems here. You know it's Hashem. And he says to you, tomorrow morning I want you to take your car, drive down to Masada, climb up to the top of Masada, and just as the sun comes up, I want you to jump. But don't worry, I'll catch you. Yeah, so what do? You go rent a car, you drive down to Masada, Nachon, because that's the easy part. You climb up to the top of Masada, that's also the easy part. You take the lachba or whatever, and Lomashayim. You walk to the edge of the cliff where he told you to go and you stand there. Now, do you jump or not? Everybody's going to have a moment like that in their lives. Everybody's going to have a moment like that in their lives, because that's what Avraham Avinu asked for Hashem, and Hashem promised him everyone's going to have a moment like that in their lives. Now, I don't know enough to know whether that was in your previous incarnation, maybe in this incarnation, not. I don't know enough about how Kosh Balku sets us up for different Yisoynus, whatever. Could be you have to go through all 10 Yisoynus in 5 different incarnations, you have to go through them all in one. Don't ask me those kind of questions. This wife, that wife, who are you going to be? Yes, amazing with who you're going to be. I don't know how it works. There are people that now ask him. Well, the bottom line is that everybody's going to go. There's something that's a beautiful sefer called the 10 Tests. He goes through in contemporary language, in contemporary understanding, what the 10 Tests would look like in this generation. All the different Nisoinus that you're going through, and everybody's got them. So it could be that this one's got a Nisoin of Panosa, this one's got a Nisoin of Bonim, this one's got all the 10 Nisoinus, the Lech Lechos, the whole Baal Tshuva movement with the Nisoin of Lech Lecho. Could be that not everyone has to go through all 10 Nisoinus. Could be this generation's going through this Nisoin. I don't know. I don't exactly. The person has to find himself. But everybody somewhere along the line is going to have a moment where just something doesn't make. And you have that imuna, that knowledge, and you stick to it and you go forward knowing that without knowing. It's that knowing without knowing. The Rambam, the moshel the Rambam gives is that flash of lightning. You walk in a dark, stormy night, you don't know where you're going. you're blonzing around, you're tripping, you're falling over, you're cutting yourself on thorns, and suddenly there's a flash of lightning. And in that flash of lightning, in that moment, you see clearly where you need to be going, but as that flash starts, it's finished, you're back in darkness. So now you keep walking on what? On knowledge? No, it's on Emunah. It's being faithful to what you knew, but you don't know now. Last night when Hashem called you to jump off the sudden, you had no doubts you were going to do it. So if you jump now, this morning you go down there and you jump. Why did you jump? Because you know? No, you don't know anything. There's no Hashem going, hello, anybody out? Remember me last night? You know? There's no one out there. It's dead silent. So why do you jump? Because you have Emunah. It means you're faithful to what you knew yesterday that you don't know now. That's an enormous moment of Akedah. That's Avraham Avinu on his way to the Akedah. The Ratzon Hashem is Yitzhak should live. And Hashem's telling me to go against the Ratzon Hashem and Shechti. So what did he do? He did what Hashem told him to do, because that's what you do. Ah, it doesn't make sense, I don't know. You shut that out, you put that out of your head and you go. Not blind faith. Blind faith's not fast. That's for the Christians, that's not fast. That's for the Muslims. We don't have blind faith. We have an Emunah, that means being faithful to what you know. What makes sense. There's another nekudah, and that is the nekudah that you have to give up that fantasy that you need to know everything. If Avraham Avinu had an all or nothing type of desire to know everything, he couldn't have passed the Akedah. Because he would have said, I don't understand. Of course you don't understand. Who says you have to understand? Once I don't know who said it. The shreinesh of all apikosis is the desire to understand everything. So when you see contradictory things in a paradoxical world, you know, this world's full of paradoxes, yeah, because it's a paradoxical world. I'm a paradox. Everything's a paradox. But you have one understand everything, so you'll become an apikoidus for sure, because nothing makes sense. Eventually you, that was Acha, he went into the Pardes, you know, he saw the kid doing Kibbutz of Aim and dying, and nothing made sense, and he blew it. Why? Avraham Avinu sees that, what does he say? I don't understand everything. The God that I can understand, I don't need. Why would I want a God that I could understand? It means he'll be exactly the same as me. So that's just weiter. If you could understand everything about Hashem, means Hashem would be as big as you. You want a God that's as big as you, or you want someone a little bit more profound than you? Obviously you want to, otherwise what do I need God for? I'll just play God. A lot of people, that's what they think. They think that they're as big as God. They understand everything about God. And off you go. I love Rebecca's got a line on this. He bumps into a guy one morning, you know, after davening, he's like, you know, pot belly full of cholent and whiskey or whatever, you know. Like, last time we opened a Gemara was about a month ago, you know, and he says, Rabbi Lashev was just paskin something, which was, you know, everyone was talking about whatever. He turned around and says, I just don't understand Rabbi Lashev. So Rebecca turns around to him and he's, you know, and he says, that's not a bug, that's a feature. Of course you don't understand Rabbi Lashev. You know, go sit and learn for 100 years, 27 hours a day, do nothing else, you know. And maybe you'll get to a level of Rabbi Lashev and you can turn around and say, I don't understand Rabbi Lashev, you know. Rav Shlomo Zalman could say, I don't understand Rabbi Lashev because, you know, he was living in the same world as him. But you don't understand Rabbi Lashev? That's great. That's fantastic. If you could understand Rabbi Lashev, means Rabbi Lashev is as small as you. Chaval. How did the God of Lador get so small? So that's Avraham Avinu. He understands he can't understand everything. Therefore, when he sees things that contradict, it doesn't phrase it. Hashem promises him the entire Eretz. The whole land's yours to inherit. One second, I can't even find Dalai Lama's to bury my wife. What do you mean? We don't realize what a Nisoyin that was. In fact, that Nisoyin, I think the Ramban said, that was one of the 10 Nisoyinus. So Machlekes, hey, Rashi? So Machlekes, you're showing whether that was one of the Moina or whatever. It's included in some of the lists and not some of the lists. One second, what was the Nisoyin? The Nisoyin was, you promised me the whole land. And now I've got to take out an enormous mishkanta to buy 500, 400 zoos, which is a humongous sum of money, to buy a little piece of land to bury my wife, who died after the Akedah. One second, why should she die after the Akedah? You know, it says mitzvah in Niskokin. I was on my way to do a mitzvah, the biggest mitzvah anyone did. Klal Yisrael's going to live on this mitzvah for the next thousands and thousands of years, and my wife dies because of it, and I can't even find somewhere to bury her. If you don't understand anything, you've got a lot of kashas. What does Avraham Avinu do? It's all good. But that's what Abraham Avinu asked for. And Hashem says, okay, I'll give you what you want, but you know what the price is? To their mom, a chirpul. Abraham Avinu, I'm going to do it, but here's the price. In order for your children to get to this level, they're going to have to fight difficult battles. They're going to have to go and fight against the entire world. Your children will be strangers in a strange land, and they will torture them. When it's all said and done, they'll go out of the golas, and they'll go out of their golas with enormous rechush, and they will inherit the land. But they're going to pay the same price you paid. Maisa Ava Simon Laboni. The goddess Mitzrayim Lord Thomas Mesechtes Halt Loy Shalem. Shagam Mesechtes Aimuna Loy Shluma. Yaleim Laavo Shibud Shaldalad Mokhus. Mitzrayim wasn't enough. They didn't pay the price. They didn't learn the lesson properly in Mitzrayim. We have to go through Dalad Goliyos. And we've been through Dalad Goliyos. G'day Legiel Madrok Rosai Aruchne Shalam Ravino Shalom in order to get to that spiritual level. And each generation will have to do what they can do that the previous generation can't do. What we can do, the Vilna Goyen couldn't do. What I can do, Rabbi Akiva couldn't do. The Torah that I'm learning today, no one else could learn. I have to do it. That aura gonus. You know, the light we experience today is not the light that shone at Master Bracious. It shone for 36 hours. The light, the original light that shone for 36 hours, and then Hashem hid it in the Torah. In the 36 Masechtas of Torah Shavuot Peh, that's where Hashem hid the 36 hours of light that shone. Those are the 36 candles we light on Chanukah, and those are the 36 hidden tzaddikim that you don't see in every generation. They're there, but you don't see them. That's why they're hidden. Not that we don't know who they are. We know who they are, just who they are is hidden. Doesn't mean that he's this bumbling fool, drunkard, you know, lying in the street, you know, but he's the God Lador. No, you know who he is, you just don't know who he is. These tzidkas, his light is hidden. That's what we're busy with at the moment. That's where you get an opportunity to touch in and tap into the oragonus. It's on Chanukah, the 36 candles we light, or the 36 hours. Each candle light is one of those hours of oragonus that shone there. And that's, by the way, why the word or appears how many times in the Torah? Very good. 36. If you thought it was all just, you know, coincidence. Said Yosef is the enemy of Yovan. Yosef is the counteract of Yovan. Yosef is Yesod, which is 6. Yesod should be Yesod. It's 6 times 6 is 36. That's just a bit of chassidus for the Chanukah. You know, I talk about this. That's what Avraham Avinu asked for us. That's why you can, whatever you're going through, whatever Nisoyon you're going through, remember that your Zayda agreed to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham Avinu everything that everyone and his kids were going to go through. He showed him the Inquisition, he showed him Auschwitz, he showed him the Crusades, Tachvatat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu, the Bris Brana Besorim. He showed him everything, and Avraham Avinu signed and said, "Fine, I'm asking." It means Avraham, who loves us, he agreed to whatever I'm going through right now. It's a chizuk. Shem Yishmereinu.
Get to the Leviathan down in the train station.
The Chitzoni or the Pnim, you want to know?
No, Chitzoni.
I drove to Lod, I took a train, I took a taxi, I walked.
Okay.
That's what it looks like on the outside. How we got there, one nace after the next. The biggest nace I still realized was finding parking at the train station at Lod. And my car wasn't towed away because it wasn't a parking. I parked on the pavement. It's the biggest train, the most busiest train station in the country, and there's no part, I mean, the parking lot's about the size of this table. There's parking for about 12 cars in one. And it's not even a normal parking lot, it's like, I mean, it's like, just like they built a train station in the middle of, it's just like, it's crazy. Town planning. You know. Anyway, Baruch Hashem. And then we found a taxi was on his way home to Chazon Ish. In the middle of Tel Aviv, we found a taxi who just said, there's nothing to do today. Ain't malasot po. As we stepped onto the road, I said, should we take a taxi? Should we take a bus? What should we do? This guy dropped past. I put up my hand. He stopped. Where are you going? He's going to Chazon Ish. He's going home. He doesn't think he'll get in, but he'll get us as close as he can. He took us 25 minutes of Chazon Ish when people were taking 15 hours to get within 20 miles of Bnei Brak. You couldn't get anywhere near Bnei Brak. You try to get there?
I did. I went to Lefku Zatzal, and after that I...
Not for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, we had a 5-minute walk. We got there, and as we got there, we were there like 10 minutes, and the Aron came straight past us. It was right there.
Wow.
And then we came on. We did what I had to do, and we came on. There were no spadim. There was no... We normally got to invite. There's a spadim or something. There was nothing else. It was just like...
Erev Chanukah, no spadim?
Not because of that. He left in his tzavah. Yeah.
But Erev Chanukah, there's no tachanun, there wouldn't be anyway.
There would have been a spadim.
There would have been.
On Lador, Mace Mutl Lefonim, there would have been a spadim. Yeah. But his will, his tzavah, precluded anything. Noah spayed him, and he had to be buried within 6 hours.
Yeah. Nothing.
The patira, yeah. Nothing. Rav Gershon Adelson said a few words of his sohiris. Rav Chaim said that he should say, and Rav Chaim Paskin, I heard last night, that we should say a spayed.
Who said Kaddish at the kever? Was that his?
No, I didn't get to the kever. I wasn't at the kever.
I thought it was Rav Chaim's.
Rav Chaim did say, Rav Chaim said Kaddish at the house.
Uh-huh.
Rav Chaim did say Kaddish at the house. He talked Kriya, and he said Kaddish. But I guess his son said Kaddish at the Kura. Unless his son didn't go to the Kura.
His son must look.
No, he left in his tzavah that they should follow Minag Yerushalayim, and the son shouldn't go to the Kura. It was also part of his tzavah, Nachon. So it could be Reb Chaim said Kaddish at the Kura.
Wow.
Could be Reb Chaim, I don't know. But he precluded this being a long Levaya by Noah Spadim and insisting on being buried within 6 hours of the Patira. That left him no time for anything. By the time they got the he was left in hospital, so you need a clearance and you need to retire and get whatever and set everything up. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, they had to be buried by one, I think, or two, I can't remember. Was it
half a million people still made it there.
More.
And he asked that nobody would mention it or say it.
No announcements, no petics.
I was wondering why there was no car saying, you know.
But Reb Chaim Paskin had said that they should have normal espadim after now.
But he said he doesn't want that, no?
Reb Chaim said you have to. And no one loved him more than Reb Chaim, I promise you. No one understood him more than Reb Chaim. Whatever we understood of him, understood nothing of him. Nothing.
It was particularly hard for me because we were in Bnei Brak, one Chanukah, and we were waiting by across the street from his place. We saw him lighting Chanukah last night.
You know what an impact this is? I mean, on us it's a big impact. Can you imagine the impact on the Chiloni world? When they see something like this, and then they see pictures of what his house looked like and how he lived. And they're like, this taxi driver took us yesterday, as a Chiloni guy. He says he once went into his house. He said, but he was mitlahevig. He wasn't saying it as a gnai. He was like, wow, That's how the leader of Klal Yisrael lives, you know. But from a Zalman as well, there was an article, I read the article, a Chiloni. That was the biggest Levaya ever in the history of Eretz Yisrael. There were 300,000 people there. And no one knew why, because Shlomo Zalman was pretty unknown. He wasn't on the Moitzet Gedoyle, he wasn't. It was before Degel. Shlomo Zalman was almost unknown in the Chiloni world. Everyone's heard of Aaron Leib because...
But he was a Gadol for everyone.
Rav Shlomo Zalman, yeah, but the Chiloni world in Tel Aviv and whatever hadn't heard about him. In Tel Aviv, they've heard of Aaron Leib. Everyone's heard of Aaron Leib. So I'll tell you, Moedi Kamais, my daughter told me on the train back. What? Spine-chilling story. So this reporter wanted to know, he wanted to see this big great person. Like 300,000 people came to Levaya. We never heard of him. This wasn't the prime minister. This wasn't the god. You know, who was he? He was a Rul Rosh Hashiva, a Rul Hashiva, a Mize, a Maze. So he came to Shari Chesed to look for his mansion. You know, with a whatever. He wrote an article. I remember reading the article. He was like totally humbled to his shoes. When they took him into his house and they showed him around his little, 30 square meter room where he raised how many children and his family. That's where the God, like, he wrote it like, you could almost feel the tears coming out of him as he wrote this article. I've just been so humbled. But how is it possible that somebody lived like that in when we'd never heard of him? That was his, you know. But Rabbi Aaron Leib, they all knew about, they all heard about him. My daughter's on the train back yesterday, and there's a Chiloni girl sitting there, short pants, sitting there, and she's crying. My daughter says to her, like, what's going on here? This girl must be 12, 13. She says, no, my mother's sitting over there. My mother told me that a big tzaddik died, and we have to go to the Levi, because now that he's not here, we're in big danger. And we have to go and cry, and we have to go ask Hashem to help us. A Chiloni from there, she's on her way to Tel Aviv in short pants. And she's crying because my mother said the tzaddik in Van Rogdan, we've got to go to the Levi because we're in big danger now that we don't have the tzaddik anymore. Well, yeah, come to Israel. That's clearly so. They all knew about Aaron Leib because in the last few years of his life, unfortunately for him, he got involved, he had to get involved, he was in the front lines. Everybody knew him.
Like a few short years ago, he was traveling abroad. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, his Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael was beyond. Beyond. The yeshivas he started, how much he was making effort to keep them going and to raise money and to... You saw how he lived. He had nothing. Mamash nothing. There was times there was millions of dollars in his pocket. He was distributing... Anyway, to open his safe, any safer. That's only you'll realize how great he is. All the stories don't even touch the surface. Tape it up in the Lesser Shocher. Find a sugi you're learning that you don't understand. And go see how he deals with it. Baba Gash.
But he was willing to give his time to see everyone that
came. Yeah, Strong was most enough. It was a big gvir, wanted Ron Leib to do a chalaka for his son. So I went to the Gabbai. Gabbai came to Ron Leib and said, I'm not a barber. He didn't really think he was anybody. Like, why would anyone want me to cut their son's hair? I'm not a barber. So no. Went back, he said, I'll give him this, I'll give him that. And so then he said to him, if you'll cut my son's hair, I'll give, I don't know how much, a biggest amount of money to yeshivas, for him to distribute to Koilim or whatever. So he said, to support Torah, I'll sponge the guy's house even. Why didn't you say so? You know, like, cut his hair, you're going to give money to support Torah? I'll sponge his house even. You know. And he got out by the skin of his teeth, eh? You don't understand. His entire family, none of his family survived the war. He got out in 1939, mamash at the last moment. He wasn't even there for his farewell party. I have a picture of the farewell party that they made for him when he left Brisk. Him and Ramosha Soloveitchik were leaving Brisk together. The Russian army, the Polish army, Lozochy, who was in charge then, was after them, and they knew they had to get out. So they had as soon as prayed, he's in the picture, you can't find him, he's not in the picture. He left earlier, he was scared, so he left before. He disappeared and whatever. Ramosha Soloveitchik came afterwards, and they were in Montreux together for many, many years. Rabbi Gross's grandfather, they were very close, they were in Montreux together for a long time. Very, very close. And that was it. And then he was there. And then he came here and he lived in Kfar Saba. He had a pardes of Esrogim which failed. Then he worked for a while in the Bursa. He was a diamond polisher. He worked in the Bursa for a while.
Yeah.
And then the Ponevicharov found him and they started the Yeshiva Katana in Bnei Brak.
Years old.
Probably the last Yid alive that was born in Brisk. I mean, there can't be too many Yidden that were born before the war in Brisk that are still alive today. The Briskerov, they say, loved him enormously. Very, very beloved by the Briskerov. Yeah. Listen, he's not here. We have to. Whatever crumbs we can try and contribute, we have to contribute. You know? So, if you don't have a loaf of bread, at least try and chop a few something. Okay.
I think you said on Sunday there's no share.